Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message on this very precious and holy Easter day is this, and what a wonderful picture. Let's dance with the Father. Based on Romans chapter 5, listen to these verses. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by His life? Not only this, but we exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Not long ago, I was asked to prepare a special sermon for the pastors of the Alberta, British Columbia district. And I have not yet had the opportunity to share it with my own congregation yet. So today, this sermon will be my Easter present to you. It's a sermon that will be delivered in a way you're not used to hearing. It will start with a story. It will then go to Scripture. It will then make application in your lives and go back to the original story again. Those of you who worship here on a regular basis, don't be looking for a sermon outline this morning. This is a story sermon. Our title is, Let's Dance with the Father. 5-year-old Madeline climbed into her daddy's lap. Did you have enough to eat? He asked her. She smiled and patted her tummy. I can't eat anymore. Did you have a piece of your grandma's special pie? Oh, yes, I did. A whole piece. Joe looked at his daughter across the table. Looks like we're both filled up. Guess there's nothing else we can do tonight. Madeline put her tiny little hands on either side of her daddy's big face and said, Oh, Papa, it's Sunday night. You said we could dance. Joe faked a bad memory. Did I now? I don't remember saying anything about dancing. Grandma smiled and just shook her head as she cleared the table of the dishes. A smile burst out from beneath Joe's thick mustache. Of course, I remember saying we could dance, darling. How could I forget? And so with that, Joe took little Madeline's hand in his and went into the den. And for a moment, just a moment, his wife was alive again. And they were going to spend a night like they spent so many nights, dancing the night away. They would have danced the rest of their lives, Joe and his wife. But then came the surprise pregnancy and the complications. Madeline survived, but Mother didn't. And now Joe, the thick-handed butcher from Alberta, was left to raise Madeline all alone. Come on, Papa, she tugged on his pants leg. Let's dance, Daddy, before everybody else comes. She was right. Soon the doorbell would ring. All the relatives would come. But for now, dancing together in the den, it was just Papa and Madeline. You know that the love of a parent is a mighty force? Consider the couple with their newborn child. The infant offers mom and dad absolutely nothing. No money, no skill, no words of wisdom. If the infant had pockets, they'd be empty. To look at an infant in a bassinet, it is to see a creature that's absolutely helpless and also one that makes some obnoxious smells. Oh, what about a newborn baby is there to love? But whatever it is, Mom and Dad find it. Just look at Mom's face as she nurses that baby at her breast. Just look at the proud Papa as he rocks his new little girl in his arms. And you just try to harm that little baby, and you will discover a strength in the parents they didn't know they had. Yes, the love of a parent for their child is a mighty force. Jesus once asked, if we humans have so much love, how much more does our Father in heaven love us? But what happens when the love of a child for their parent isn't returned? What happens to the father's heart when his child turns away? Well, rebellion flew into Joe's world like a prairie snow blizzard. About the time Madeline was old enough to drive a car, she decided she was old enough to lead her own life. And that life did not include her father. I should have seen it coming, Joe said later, but I didn't. He didn't know what to do. He just didn't know how to handle the pierced nose and the tight skirts. He didn't understand the late nights and the bad grades at school. Most of all, he didn't know when to speak and when to be quiet. But Madeline, on the other hand, had it all figured out. She knew when to speak to her father, never. She knew when to be quiet, always. The pattern, though, was completely reversed with the lanky, tattooed kid down the block. He was no good, and Joe knew it. And there was no way he was going to allow his daughter to spend Sunday Easter evening with that kid. You'll be with us tonight, young lady, at this table, eating your grandma's pie. And though they were at the same dinner table, they might as well have been on either side of the town. Madeline played with her food and said nothing. Part of Joe was angry. A part of Joe was heartbroken. And the rest of him would have given anything just to know how to talk to this girl that he once bounced on his lap. But thank goodness, soon the relatives arrived, bringing with them an end to the awkward silence. Put the music on, Joe, said one of his brothers. Let's dance. And thinking that she would be honored, Joe turned and walked to his daughter and bowed and said, will you dance with your papa tonight? The way she huffed and turned, you'd thought he insulted her. In view of the whole family, she walked out of the door, slammed the door behind her, and marched down the street to the lanky, tattooed kid's house, leaving her father alone, very much alone. Now, according to the Bible, we have all done the same thing to our Father in heaven. The prophet Isaiah tells us, we have gone astray, each to our own way. St. Paul takes our rebellion a step farther. He says, we have done more than just turn away. We have turned against. We have become an enemy of God. St. Paul in our sermon text says, while we were helpless, while we were sinners, while we were enemies of God. Harsh words, don't you think? An enemy is an adversary, one that offends not out of ignorance, but on purpose, on intent. Does this describe us? How have we become enemies of God? Let me ask you, have you ever turned against and away from your Heavenly Father? Have you ever done something knowing that God does not want you to do it? Have you ever hurt one of His children or a part of His creation? Have you ever applauded the work of the devil in someone's life who's having a bad time, whom you really don't like? Have you ever turned your back on your Heavenly Father in public so you could be accepted by the crowd? If so, haven't you taken the role of an adversary? So how does God react when we become His enemy? Well, Madeline came home that night, not for very long. You see, Joe never faulted her for leaving. He said, what could it be like as a teenage girl growing up in the home of an Alberta butcher? In their last days together, he tried so hard. He made her her favorite meal, but she wouldn't touch it. He invited her out to her favorite movie. She just went into her room and closed the door. He bought her a brand new dress, one like Mama used to wear. She would have nothing of it. And then there was that spring day. He left to go to work early so he could be home to meet her when she came home from school. And wouldn't you know, that was the day Madeline decided not to come home. A friend saw her and her boyfriend at the bus station. And Joe confirmed with the authorities they had bought 2 one-way bus tickets to Vancouver. Now, probably the most famous road in the Holy Land is called the Via Dolorosa, the Way of Sorrows. According to tradition, it's the route that Jesus took from the judgment hall of Pontius Pilate to the cross where he died for our sins. But see, the path of Jesus really began not in the court of Pilate, but in the halls of heaven. This is where the Father began his journey, seeking after us, his children who had gone astray, when in Christ Jesus he left heaven to search for us. Our Father's desire was the desire of a loving parent, looking for his children who had turned from him and broken his heart. St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Reconciliation reverses the rebellion. Reconciliation rekindles the love. Reconciliation puts a hand on the wayward shoulder of that children and guides them gently home. The path that Jesus took to the cross shows us how far God will go to bring us back home. Well, the scrawny kid with the tattoo had a cousin who lived in Vancouver. And the cousin worked a night shift at the 7-Eleven convenience store on the east side of Vancouver. And for a few bucks a month, he would let the runaways stay in his apartment. But they had to be out during the day, which was great for them because he was going to be a mechanic, although he knew nothing about cars. And she was going to sell clothing in a women's store, although she knew nothing about getting a job. But you don't think about those things when you're young and in love and intoxicated with freedom. But after a couple of weeks, the cousin changed his mind. And the day he announced his decision they had to leave was the day the boyfriend announced his decision. And Madeline that night found herself facing the night with no place to sleep and no hand to hold. It was just the first of many such nights for Madeline. But a woman in the park told her about the homeless shelter near Main Street in Hastings. And for a couple of bucks, she could get a bowl of soup and a cot to sleep in. A couple of bucks was about all that Madeline had. She used her backpack as a pillow and her coat as a blanket. And the room was so rowdy in the shelter, she couldn't sleep. And she turned her back to face the wall. And for the first time in several days, thought of the whiskered face of her dear father as he would kiss her goodnight. But as her eyes began to water, she refused to cry. She pushed the memory down deep inside and said, I'm not going to think about Father. I'm not going to think about home. She decided she had gone too far to go back home. The next morning, the girl in the cot next to her showed her a fistful of dollars she'd made in tips dancing in a men's club. They told me they're looking for another girl. You should come by. She reached in her pocket and pulled out a matchbook with the address of the men's club on it. Madeline's stomach churned at the thought. All she could do was mumble, well, I'll think about it. She spent the rest of the week on the streets of East Vancouver looking for work. But at the end of the week, her pockets were empty. She pulled out the matchbook. It was the only thing she had left. "I won't be staying tonight," she told her friends. "I'm going to go get a job." You see, hunger has a way of softening convictions. Pride and shame. You'd never know they're sisters. They appear so different. Pride puffs out her chest. Shame hangs her head. Pride boasts. Shame hides. Pride seeks to be seen. Shame seeks to be avoided. But don't be fooled. These emotions, pride and shame, have the same impact. They keep you away from your Heavenly Father. Pride says, "You don't need Him. You're too good for Him." Shame says, "He doesn't want you. You're too bad for Him." Pride drives you away. Shame keeps you away. If pride is what goes before a fall, that shame is what prevents you from getting up after you've fallen. Now, if Madeline knew anything, Madeline knew how to dance because Papa had taught her how to dance. Now, in this club, men the same age as her father watched her. She just didn't think about it. She just did her work, didn't make any eye contact, and she took their dollars. She might have never have thought about it, except for the letters that started coming. The boyfriend's cousin had brought them. Not one, not two, but three shoe boxes full of letters, all addressed to her, all from her father. "Your old boyfriend must have squealed on you," he said. "These letters come two or three times a week. Please give him your new address at the club." Oh, she couldn't do that because he might find out what she was doing. And she couldn't even bear to open up the envelopes. She knew what the envelopes said. She knew he wanted her to come home. But if he knew what she were doing, he wouldn't be writing. So it seemed less painful not even to read them. And she didn't. Not that week, or the week after, or the week after, when the cousin brought more and more of these letters. But she kept them in her dressing room table at the club, organized by the dates they were postmarked, running her finger over each letter, knowing they came from her papa, but she couldn't bring herself to open one. Now, most days, Madeline kept herself numb to the emotions. Thoughts of home and thoughts of shame were shoved down deep in the depths of her heart. But there were occasions. There were occasions when thoughts of home and Papa were too hard for her to shake. But in time, the leaves fell and the winter chill filled the air. The mail came and the cousin complained as the stack of letters grew. But still, she refused to send him an address. She refused to send a letter until that day when a letter without a postmark, without a stamp, appeared on her desk at the club. Same shape, same color, not delivered by any cousin. It was sitting on her dressing room table. One of her co-dancers said, "A big guy with a thick mustache came by a couple of days and gave it to me to give to you. He said, you'd understand the message." "He was here?" said Madeline. "Yeah, I suppose he must have been, you know, and I really like that big mustache." Madeline swallowed hard and she looked at the envelope. She opened it and she read the card. And this is what it said. "I know where you are. I know what you do. This doesn't change the way I feel about you. What I said in every one of my letters is still true. But I don't know what you said, Madeline screamed to herself. Then she pulled a letter from the stack and read it. Then another letter, and another letter, and another letter. Every letter had the same sentence. Every letter asked the same simple question. In a matter of moments, the floor was littered with these letters. And Madeline's face was streaked with tears. Within an hour, she was on a bus on her way home to Alberta. I might make it, she said, just in time. She barely did. It was Sunday night when she got home. Now, the relatives were starting to leave. And Joe was helping Grandma in the kitchen when one of his brothers said, Joe, there's someone here at the table, at the door that wants to see you. Joe stepped out of the kitchen and he stopped dead in his tracks. In one hand, the girl held a backpack. In the other hand, a card. Joe saw the question in her eyes. The answer is yes, she said to her father. If the invitation is still good, Papa, the answer is yes. Joe swallowed hard. Oh my, the invitation is still good. And so, the two danced again together on Sunday night. And on the floor, near the back door, rested a letter with Madeline's name on it and her father's request that was written in every letter. Will you come home and dance with your papa again? In our sermon text for today from Romans chapter 5, we read these words. While we were still helpless, while we were still sinners, at the right time, Christ died for us. God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For if while we were His enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by His life? Not only in that, but we exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Every Sunday, not just Easter Sunday, every Sunday declares to you and to me and the world that Jesus Christ has died for the sins of the world, and upon that cross He has defeated sin, death, and the devil, and He has risen to give us everlasting life. Through His Easter victory, we sinners have been reconciled to our Father in heaven. Today, His arms are stretched out to you. No matter how far you may have strayed, no matter how long it has been that you've been in your Father's house, He loves you. His invitation is for you. So my friends, on this Easter Sunday, 2012, come! Let's dance with the Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We now worship our Lord with His offering and fill out the attendance pads in front of you in the pews.